Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
This message I want to share today is something that I feel is extremely necessary for everybody to have in their life for mental health, emotional health, and wholeness of life. And it's one of the areas that escapes people's world so easily. It's called hope. And this week, we're not in actually a series or a theme, so I have the chance to speak on something I'm feeling pretty on fire about right now. And on Wednesday night, we had our all-in team meeting, and I spoke about faith, hope, and love as being part of the culture of C3, so that all of our team and all of our pastors throughout our movement would grasp a hold of the fact that we are people who traffic in hope, that we are people who bring hope every weekend, that religion and the house of God should not be perceived as a place where despair or negativity is elevated, but that people can find during their week, if it's the only place they find a sense of inspiration and hope about their life, then it should be in the house of God every week. And you and I, as individual believers, should also be able to bring that into people's lives. When Peter and John were going up to the temple, it says at the hour of prayer in Acts chapter 3, they said to the guy who was lame from his birth, "Look on us." And I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at people and I get quite discouraged. Have you ever had that happen to you? There are other people I look at and I get quite worried. Some people you look at, they can give you just off their look and their manner a feeling that isn't that positive. However, when this guy looked at Peter and John, he felt healing. He felt faith. He felt life come into him. And I would want that every one of us as a believer are the light of the world, that we are like a city set on a hill, that we are not putting candles, buckets over candles, that we're not hiding our light, but the Bible says you are the light of the world. And that means you could brighten up, you could actually smile as a believer. I know you're a pretty serious person. I realize that you're a deep person, but every now and then you ought to try shallowing up and smiling, amen, and thinking, whoa, I could have a party here. And you could have a party all day long. All you got to do is decide, that's how I'm going to live. That's the kind of person I'm going to be. When people meet me, they feel like they've met the book of Acts. They feel like they've met a whirlwind. They feel like they've met a party. They feel better after meeting me. That's what a believer is meant to be. And so you and I have to have that fullness of the life of God on the inside of us. And this passage that I'm speaking about here in Romans 15, 13 is one of the greatest passages in the Bible. If you've got five favorite scriptures, this should be one of them. So let's have a look at it. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Such a good verse. The word I love right there at the beginning is now. Right here, right now. Why are you putting off hope to the future? Why are you putting off your life? Why are you putting it on hold and procrastinating about making a big decision? Why are you putting off starting to worship God? Why are you putting off coming to Jesus? Why are you putting off reading the Bible? Why are you putting off getting up early in the morning to pray? Do it now. Why are you putting off tithing? Why are you putting off getting baptized in water? Don't let your life slip by. Now's the day. Now's the time for salvation. Right here, right now. Do it now. I have the little maxim in my head, and I live by maxims in my mind. And one of them is do it now. You know, when you think of, I should write a letter to that person one day, my head goes, do it now. So I go, I'll write it now. If I get an email and it says, you know, I think, oh, I'll reply to that in a couple of days. This little thing goes, do it now. So I just do it straight away. And if you're always doing things now, you feel like you're ahead of the game. You're on top of everything. It's not piling up in the cupboard, all these things that you put off until another day. And I know some of you think at night when you're packing up the dishes, I'll do that in the morning. Do it now, amen. Right? Oh yeah. Some of you guys sitting here thinking, one day I'm going to clean up that garage. Do it now. Yeah, I shouldn't speak about those things in church, should I really? But the fact is there's a lot of things. One day I'm going to go on that diet. One day I'm going to give up, you know, one day. Do it now. Why wait? There's no good reason. Do it now. Now may the God of hope, and I love the fact that he doesn't go, now I'm praying that the God of hope. He says, now may the God of hope, he declares it over you and I. There are some things we should be declaring over our life rather than praying to God to do it. He hasn't answered some of our prayers because he's waiting for us to speak it into existence. Most people speaking about their life is negative. Ah, this thing never works. I don't know where all the money goes. How are we ever going to pay this electricity? I don't know if we're ever going to be able to afford a house. You're speaking all that kind of stuff. Change it today. We're going to be able to get a house in Sydney. We're going to find a new job. We're going to actually find this marriage is going to work. Our kids are going to grow up not insane. They're going to be incredible in Jesus' name. We're going to have such a good life. I'm going to have such a good retirement when I get there. Mine's going to be in heaven. Don't know about yours, but instead of complaining about bunions on your toes, rejoice about Jesus in your heart. Amen. Instead of complaining about how much hair you've lost, start complaining, start rejoicing about how many friends you've got. There are a whole lot of good things happening in your life. Whole lot of good things. Don't ignore them. Focus on those good things and thank God for them. And then declare over your life, now, this is going to happen for me. Start to speak into your world. Speak to your body. Get thinner in Jesus' name. Amen. Speak to your soul. Get happy. Speak to your brain. Be still. Calm. Calm down up there. And start to speak over your world. Speak to your bank account. Get filled in Jesus' name. Amen. Lose weight, gain weight. Amen. Speak to things in your world. I know it's an unusual thing to do. It's kind of weird, but do it quietly. Put a pillow over your mouth or do it in the car or just, you know, body, get better. And but God tells us to speak to things. Weird thing. He does it. He's unusual. He goes like, let there be worlds. And there are. And you are speaking things. You're like him. You're made in his image. What you do is what, a reflection of what he does. So here is Paul saying, now may God, the God of hope. Please, people, God is known as a lot of things, right? God of light, God of love. But here he's called the God of hope. If he's in your world, hope is in your world. If you got God, you got hope. That's all there is to it. If you got the devil, you got despair. Make your choice. You'd rather be a despairing, depressed, discouraged, disillusioned person or a hope-filled, love-filled, joy-filled, peace-filled person? It's a simple choice because hope is a person, joy is a person, peace is a person. His name is Jesus. And when he's inside of you, there's hope. How many times did they try to kill him? You know, Paul says, let me tell you about a mystery. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So here is Jesus in you, and this is the same Jesus they tried to kill before he was even born, but he got born. Then after he got born, they tried to kill him then, but he stayed alive. Then when he is like 12-year-olds, his parents lost him. They lost the Messiah. They thought he was with them, but he wasn't. Like a lot of people in the world today, they think they're a believer, but they haven't actually gone to the point of saying, making sure Jesus is in their life. They assumed he was there. They supposed he was with them. They lose him at the temple, but eventually find him, and he's all right again. While he's alive, the devil tries to kill him right at the start of his ministry. Then people try to kill him all the way through his ministry. Eventually, they're successful. They actually kill him. But that doesn't kill him. He rises from the dead, comes back out of the grave. That same Jesus is in you. There's nothing that's going to come against you that can defeat Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are going to make it through whatever you are facing. Whatever is coming against you, He is the hope of glory. You can walk out of here today knowing that you're going to make it, that everything is going to work together for good for you who love God. And if you've got Christ in you, you're going to get to the other side of the lake, even though there's a storm. You're going to get through the grave. You're going to get through the sickness. You're going to get through the despair. It doesn't matter what comes against you. God is bigger. He is mightier. He is stronger than anything you'll ever face, in Jesus' name. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Okay, so the foundation of hope is faith. Might he fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Understand that joy is a little different to happiness. Happiness depends on things that happen. If good things happen, I'm happy. If bad things happen, I'm not happy. And so your happiness, your joyfulness in life is meant to be on something that's more solid, the rock Jesus. My son Joseph said to me on a phone call the other day, he said, you know, it's good when you hit rock bottom because you discover that Jesus is the rock, amen, and that he is stronger than any other rock you'll ever face. Man alive, I think hitting the bottom is luxury. Something I've been so low, I look up and I see the bottom, and it's like, there are times when you feel low, but you can have a joy even when you're low. On the inside of you, going like, you know what? Even though this should be really putting me under, this should be drowning me, I'm actually feeling kind of joyful. It's a cheeky joy. It's the joy you have like the apostle had when he was in prison and they're singing. They should be depressed, but they weren't. They were joyful because they had hope in their hearts. They knew they weren't going to stay there. That's not going to lock you up in a negative situation. When Chris and I had our first church, we only had about 30 people in that church, and I had an assistant pastor with 30 people. You don't really need one, but I thought, well, every important person has one, so I better have one. And so I had my assistant pastor. His name was Tom Eyre. He was a Fijian, wonderful guy. He came to Christ and his wife and his kids in our church, and then he showed such promise. I just said, you be the assistant pastor. Well, we lived in a town called Littleton, where there was this hill, very steep hill, and all the houses were built on the side of the hill. During one period, we had torrential rain for days and days and days, until finally, one piece of the hill just slid right down, taking all the houses with them. And so it came unstuck from all their electricity, their pipes, and the inside of the house was full of mud. There was nowhere to go inside because the mud just went through the windows and filled the entire house up. Well, the civil emergency people came out, and everybody else is moaning, crying. Oh, God, you know. Here's Tom sitting on the roof of his mud-filled, destroyed house singing. He's singing, this is the day, this is the day. That was an old song. Some of you might remember. Long time ago, God he give me, that's in Papua New Guinean, pidgin English, dispali day, yeah, okay, I'll spare you. Here he was singing on the top of his roof with joy, and people are saying, are you crazy? He says, absolutely, it's the cracks that let the light in, and I'm rejoicing, I'm happy, because my joy doesn't depend on my circumstances. In the middle of this, I got Jesus in my life. And that's way more important. I got an eternal home in heaven that'll last forever. No mudslides there at all, in Jesus' name, amen. So he's saying, I got joy, which is very different to peace. So no matter what you got going on, you can switch it on. Because the Bible says, look, rejoice. And then he says, and I got peace. You've got peace through believing. When you decide you're going to believe, that's when you'll move towards peace. Chris and I, while we're away on a break, you know, we get a couple of calls and they didn't have the best of news in them. And that generally happens each week. You know, you receive a few calls that aren't great news, and you got to have a steady, strong faith to just keep above it all and deal with those situations. But when you're on holiday, you kind of let your guard down. And so these two got these two calls pretty much within a few minutes of each other. And you know, the first thing that happens is that you feel anxiety. right? You go, oh, God, it's going to happen there. Hey, how are we ever going to? And then the next thing, like about a couple of hours later, you get angry. Those stupid idiots, you know, like, so you go to, and then you're on a seesaw emotionally. Like this. And your emotions are trying to dominate your life and your head is spinning. And I realized I don't normally live like this. And I said to Chris after about 24 hours, I said, hey, babe, let's switch our faith on. Let's do what that guy Pringle preaches. And I know he's not here on holiday. The preacher's not here on holiday. But let's just pretend, amen, for a minute. And let's switch it on so we believe God. We're going to get through this. Instantly, you're at peace. Instantly, you got joy about the future instead of worrying about it. And I know that for 47 years, I've been preaching exactly what I'm saying to you now. The weirdest thing of all is that people go, amen, walk out, and don't do it. Instantly, nothing happens. The fact is, you can walk out of here today equipped with a switch, with a decision, with a determination, an intentionality on the inside of you to say, it's going to work. I'm going to believe that God's got an answer, got a solution for this problem I'm facing. And within that atmosphere of faith, the power of God will start to move for you. You'll see things happen that are miraculous. Since Chris and I did that, within days, miracles started happening. Miracles started happening. And then we saw a bit of a setback. And so we instantly backslid back into anxiety and anger. But then we decided, let's switch that faith on, get the faith going again. And you create a zone in which the miraculous works because God lives in an atmosphere of faith. And all you've got to do is switch it on and you'll get hope about your future. You do not have to stay in negativity. You do not have to stay in despair or depression. You can switch that faith on and believe that everything's going to work out fine and you'll see God go to work for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. It's the key to a daily guide to miracles. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, listen to me. Every time you come into church, don't sit there with your arms folded. These worship moments are so essential. That's not just a sort of a thing we do to wait till everybody's here so that we can preach. It's an essential part. Although for some of you, it is a bit like that. And you know, just make sure you get there earlier. And you can engage in an interactive experience where God comes close to you. When Rachel was singing that song, how beautiful was that? God, you come close. All you other guys, it's okay, you were beautiful too. But I'm just sensitive musician people. And it's just this, it's just that. You know, when you're talking about God, you're coming close to me and you're able to switch your head off and right then you will get filled with the Holy Spirit. Right then the Spirit of God is able to permeate and infiltrate your thinking. And just by a sheer force of osmosis, you'll find that moisture, that life, that grace, that river starts to penetrate your heart and your spirit. And you find yourself lifted by the power of the Holy Spirit. The whole New Testament is lived by that power. And then as you start to pray and you speak in your heavenly language, you're going to find yourself filled, stirred up with the Holy Spirit. If you just feed on all day long negative news and the spirit of this world, this current age, it's going to dilute your strength. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are strong. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That peace of God will be like a rock inside you that's unassailable. And that hope in you is not wishful thinking, oh my, I hope that happens. You know it's going to happen. And you're living with a solid anticipation on the inside of your heart of future miracles coming into your life. When you go through scripture, every time God is getting involved in people's lives, they start to move into dimensions they never thought they could. There's a woman called Hagar in the Old Testament. She was an Egyptian. And I talk about it here in this book, Hope, which is awesome because now you can buy hope. And it's written by a really good author. And the start of it is Like, here's just the introduction. A merciless sun hangs lazily in mid-sky. Its heat burns all the way to her bones. Even deeper shame burns, then anger, pursued hotly by bitterness. A fire tears through her memory, parched lips, swollen tongue, panting. She lays her young, delirious son Ishmael in the shade of a small bush. Her own harsh childhood surfaces from long forgotten memories, left for dead on the streets of Ramses, rescued by a profiteer, then sold like meat at the markets into slavery, chosen by Sarah, purchased by Abraham. And it goes on. You need this book. Sarah purchases her as her handmaid. But then Abraham and Sarah are having trouble conceiving a child. So they expand her job description from handmaid to surrogate mother, amen, which is a bit of a shock for her. She has this child, Ishmael, but now Sarah is really upset because it changes her attitude, both Hagar and Sarah. So eventually Hagar is dismissed from the wealthiest chieftain's tent. Such a shameful thing to happen, and a lonely thing with her little boy, Ishmael. She's out in the desert and she's run out of water and she thinks she's gonna die. So she puts the little boy over under a bush and sits down there ready to die. And then God visits her and says, "I've heard your cry." She starts to cry and so does the boy. The Lord says, "I've heard you cry." And then it says, He opened her eyes and she saw a well. There was a well just 50 yards away from her, but her depression had closed her eyes. She couldn't even see it. You will find that despair closes down your vision of opportunities that are staring you right in the face. You can't even see the possibilities of what could happen because you've allowed negativity to fill your thinking. Hope is a helmet for your head that protects you against a whole range of mental diseases. And to get hope in your thinking that you're going to make it. I preach this with a level of desperation because we live in a time where people are in such despair, and not just people generally, but many Christians, because they've filled their head with negativity and fearful images that are from this world. When you come into the Word of God and you see Jesus, the hope of the world, getting into people's lives. If Paul is in a boat in a storm for 2 weeks and they say, "All hope is lost, we can't make it," and he stands on the bow of the boat and he says, "I believe God, we'll get out of this problem." And they do get out of it because one man had hope about a future that was looking as bleak as anything. Two men on a road to Emmaus, depressed and discouraged about the fact that their master Jesus has died, and they can't see how there could be any other day that was like the days they've just experienced. Jesus starts walking with them. They don't even recognize him. Despair will close your eyes, not only to opportunities, but to God himself, as though he's not even there. But Jesus does a 3-hour Bible study with these gentlemen on the way to Emmaus. And then they say at the end, when finally their eyes open and they see, yes, it's him. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn on the inside?" They started that journey with cold hearts, but by the end of a 3-hour walk with Christ, looking into Scripture, they had passion back in their soul. They had fire back in their spirit. And you and I can recover something of the life of God inside of us if we'll just find that switch today. So I'm gonna switch on my faith. I'm gonna stir up the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. No matter what you're facing, no matter how bad it seems, there's always a way through. There's always a way through in Jesus' name. And everybody said, if I could have the musicians, thank you very much. Hey guys, I just wanted to take a second to talk with you about giving. It's Christmas time. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus into the world. And we find ourselves giving gifts to one another and family and friends and sharing meals together and celebrating the birth of Christ into the world. And it's a beautiful time. I would like you to take a moment to think about bringing a gift into this ministry. supporting C3 Church and saying, you know what? I want to stand with this ministry, preaching the gospel to the world through television shows, through podcasts, through planning churches, through all kinds of ways. And I know that as you do that, the Lord will bless you. I know that blessing flows to those who are generous. In fact, there's a proverb that says, he who gives will keep on getting larger and larger and be expanded. But the stingy, his world gets smaller and smaller. And so as we give, we will find our hearts, our minds, our life is enlarged. And I'm believing with you for 2018 to be the greatest year of your life. As we go into a whole new year, 2018 is going to be challenging. It's going to have all kinds of pressure. But I know that when people bring a special offering and plant a seed at the beginning of that year, that they have a confidence that they wouldn't normally have. It's called seed faith. When we know we've planted something, we can anticipate a harvest. And I'm believing that God will bring a mighty harvest into your world in 2018, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.